after that because of the, well, the road show. What do you think?
And in Kentucky, man, so
I like
it. Let's get it done. Let's get it done.
I will say, we are on the road to Moorhead. We're doing this show from the hotel in Moorhead, and we passed Louisville, and I saw the Yum Center, which is always pretty cool, saw the Muhammad Ali Museum. But I was only thinking about the Bellarmine game. I wasn't thinking about the museum we went to or downtown. We were walking by the river. I was just thinking about the Jack Campion shot and the thrill.
Well, that was a long time ago. I forgot about that shot, but that was our first
victory.
You
did not forget about the shot.
I forgot about that game. I'm so deep into the season, but that was a long while ago. But that was also our first win. So what a great memory for us. And now we're almost halfway throughout the season, and wow, time flies when you're having fun, man.
You know, it was your first win, but what's cool about this year is that's one heck of a way to get your first win, but also you guys have already surpassed your win total from a season ago, and we're only midway through the OVC slate. We're going to talk about where USI stands in the Ohio Valley Conference right now, and partially because of what happened last weekend with a loss against SIUE on the road and a win against Eastern Illinois. So take me through how you would evaluate this team and grade this team. How about a report card for the last two games and last weekend?
Well, the last two games, you know, I would say after losing at Edwardsville and then coming back and winning, I would say C+, you know, low B. Overall, I'm not a happy person right now in terms of I'm happy. We've won three of our last four. I'm proud of that. But we lost some close games, you know, that I think we should have won. That has come down to us, you know, in our game at, let's just say, for example, at Edwardsville, you know, taking care of the ball down the stretch, you know, executing offensively. And that happened in quite a few games. So if I had a great overall season, I'm in the D ballpark. You know, I want to be in the A+, B- ballpark, you know. But there's a lot of ball that's to be played. You know, we can improve that grade here pretty soon, starting tomorrow. And hopefully our guys understand, again, what's at stake here.
You know, again, it's the Stan Gerard Radio Show, and we're talking about last weekend with a loss against SIUE and a win against Eastern Illinois. We'll go micro on those games. But I'm curious about your thoughts on this, Coach. In my evaluation, like you said, you've won three of your last four games. So that's 160 minutes of game time, no overtime in those games. I think this might be your best 160-minute stretch, four-game stretch, just as far as the way you guys are playing when you factor in the SIUE loss. And you guys, to your point, you said it on the post-game show, you guys played pretty well, just a couple of plays down the stretch. So would you agree with that, that you guys are playing maybe some of your best basketball of the year?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's always good to start playing good basketball this late in the season. You know, I thought we were playing good basketball you know, early on, we went over, we had a little stretch there, and then we go into a five-game losing streak, and then, you know, we were able to bounce back and win three of our last four. So I would agree with you. You know, we're playing some good basketball in our past, you know, three, four games. I just felt like the loss against Edwardsville, although we lost that ball game, we played well enough to win. But, again, it takes 40 minutes, and we didn't do a great job in about six or seven of those 40 minutes especially down the stretch.
Down the stretch, and you would think that a couple of late-game mistakes might trickle into the next game, but they really didn't. Unless you really factor in the first couple of minutes of the Eastern Illinois game, you guys get a 64-60 win. You beat Eastern Illinois despite going down 7-0 to start that game on the road. What was your reaction to begin that game?
We turned the ball over out the gate, you know, quite a few times, and you know, my first initial thought was, you know, here we go again. We're still doing things we've done a couple nights ago. But, you know, once we regrouped and recovered, you know, and got our bearings straight, we started to make some plays and shots started falling. You know, I think Steven made our first bucket after a few minutes, and then we never looked back from there. The ball moved, you know, quite a bit. We got some good looks early. You know, they just didn't go in. But we turned it over, I think, our first two or three possessions to start the ball game. And I was going to call a timeout, but, you know, I wanted to wait and see if we could, you know, come up with a basket here or two, or two here or there. And then Steven, you know, got us going. And then once we got going, you know, I felt like the guys did a good job of, you know, just maintaining enough pressure offensively to put some more in the basket.
Now, Steven actually had the first two baskets of the game. And, well, from there, Jalen started getting going. To your point, he had some really good looks from three, just didn't go in, and he missed his first three shots all from beyond the arc, eventually hit one. It was a big one. USI got off to a bit of a 5-0 run there, got the lead in the teens, and never looked back as Southern Indiana defeats Eastern Illinois 64-60. I want to talk about the defense and depth, Coach, especially in the first half, but one thing I will ask you as we talk about the run that EIU went on in the first few minutes, 7-0. I looked. That's only happened two times against you guys this year. The first time was UT Martin when they got this is actually going to end up being good for you. Okay, just stay buckled in.
Right.
UT Martin, they win sizably at home at Screaming Eagles Arena, and then the second time was Little Rock, and they end up winning by 20 points. That one in Arkansas. That did not happen here. You guys bounced back. You guys fought back, and it really didn't take too long for you to punch back from that 7-0 run. Why now? What did this team do differently?
I think we learned how to play through, you know, tough times. You know, we always say, you know, through tough times, you got to find a way to get through it. And I thought we did a great job. Even the first media timeout, you know, guys were still locked in with the game plan. You know, usually, you know, in games past, you know, once we get punched in the face right away, we abort the game plan. And in this case, we didn't do that. You know, we continued to, you know, keep our foot in the gas pedal. We guarded. You know, we held these guys to, 19 points in the first half. I think they went about 10 minutes without a basket, mm-hmm. you know, and defense traveled that day. We kept guarding and just believed in the whole system, and we started to make some shots, and we kept guarding. You know, that's why we held those guys to a low number the first half.
Yeah, and it's pretty incredible. Like you said, 19 points allowed in the first half, considering, A, they scored 7 in the first 3 minutes of the game, more or less, and then 19 points, best defensive performance in a half for USI against a D1 team in program history. So you guys are setting some records here and laying down some new benchmarks and standards for Southern Indiana in the Division I era. That doesn't happen accidentally, especially when you're on the road. How do you only allow 19 points against a team coming off a really good game, EIU, with the second-best scorer in the OVC in Nikhyle Shelton?
Well, I think it was just a complete buy-in. You know, in that locker room on Thursday night at SIU Edwardsville, there were some disappointed guys in that locker room because, like I said, I told those guys, we played well enough to win. And I don't think it was our defense. It was our offense for the most part because we didn't take care of the basketball. We held those guys. Well, I guess they scored 82 points, but for the most part, you know, we did a decent job, you know. But we had some disappointed guys Thursday night, and I think that trickled into our game on Saturday. I think the sense of awareness of where we are from a league standpoint, that kicked in. A sense of desperation kicked in as well because, you know, although our record's not, you know, above 500 yet, I think our guys know and understand how good they really are. It's just one of those things where when is it going to click? And I feel like when we click on all cylinders, we're a good ball club.
Again, it's the Stan Girard Radio Show here on WREF, presented by Taroni's. USI has won 3 of their last 4 games, the only exception being a narrow loss to SIUE, one of the best teams in the OVC, on the road last weekend. They have an opportunity to continue their winning ways at Morehead State tomorrow. We're going to talk about that game, but we're also going to go in-depth with Damani Harrison, the Penn Station East Coast sub of the show, and talk about the other ancillary factors impacting USI's recent winning surge here on WREF. We'll take a step aside on 97.7, listentotheref.com, and the WREF mobile app. You're listening to the Stan Girard Radio Show, presented by Taroni's.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys make a noise at Taroni's. Ain't nothing but a pizza party at Taroni's. Vinny and the Main Street Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down the Pizza Break Road. All right. Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise. All right. Pizza party at Taroni's.
It's not just a home or a car, it's the 6 months you save for your Ultra HD flat screen just in time for the basketball season and the overtime you work for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or combo, State Farm agent Martin Woodruff sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Martin understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection that they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville for your home and auto.
Fulton Interior Systems is a preferred interior contractor in the region. Office remodeling, new construction, building maintenance, finished carpentry, and ceramic tile are just some of the areas of our expertise. This is Dan Fulton, president of Fulton Interior Systems. We can help with any of your construction needs you have. Fulton Interior Systems, quality craftsmanship that exceeds your expectations, not your budget. Give us a call at 426-2775. At Fulton Interior Systems, we can help you build your business, literally.
And we're back on the Stan Gerard Radio Show, presented by Taroni's on Main Street. I'm Brad Klein, happy to be with you. We're doing this show from the road as USI men's basketball gets ready to play Morehead State tomorrow. You'll have that action on WREF. Now, Coach Gerard is here to talk about Southern Indiana and their last four games, namely with their three wins in those past four games. And, Coach, I want to talk about especially the last two, the point guard play in the last two, last weekend, was outstanding. So Jack Campion, Sam Cody, Braxton Jones, when he's playing the one at times, this has been, in my opinion, you tell me if you disagree, the best point guard play we've had all year. How do you explain that? How do you diagnose that?
I just think guys are happy for one another's success. You know, I don't see any animosity, you know, with us moving Cody to the point guard spot and putting Campion on the bench. You know, he's coming in. I think he's getting a chance out the gate to kind of, you know, survey the floor a little bit and check out the floor of the game. And then once he comes in, he picks up where Cody left off. And they've been a really good 1-2 punch the past few games of just understanding, you know, how the game is going. You know, and oftentimes you see that, you know, we play those two guys and kind of wait and see who has the hot hand and who's getting us in a great rhythm offensively. And right now it's hard because both guys are doing it, you know. You know, if you look at Campion on Thursday at Edwardsville, he kind of struggled, you know, for a few minutes, and Cody came in and picked up his slack. And then when Cody struggled, you know, the tables got turned. And then at Eastern, you know, both those guys were spectacular. You know, they made us go. I thought their pace was unbelievable in terms of getting us down the court once we got stops. And we're gonna need that again tomorrow night against Moorhead, because those two guys, they make us go.
It's a pretty unique situation. I feel like it's almost like in the NFL or in college football, where the old adage is, hey, if you're playing multiple quarterbacks, it's because you don't have a quarterback, right? Well, if you're playing multiple point guards, starters minutes, so to speak, it might be because you don't have a point guard. But maybe it's because you have two point guards in Jack Campion and now in Sam Cody and even Braxton Jones, although he's playing a lot more shooting guard than he is point guard right about now. Let's talk about Eastern Illinois specifically with that two-headed monster in Camp and Cody. They combine for 17 points, 10 assists, and only four turnovers between the two of them. So, Coach, I ask you, you said, well, we kind of wait to see who's got the hot hand. What do you do when both of them are playing well and both of them have the hot hand as they did against the EIU?
Well, we ride them until that hand gets cold. But, you know, again, it takes a tremendous amount of sacrifice for those two guys to sit back and watch another play. You know, Campion is a starter for a couple of years for the most part, and now he's been asked to play a reduced role sometimes. And I think I said it before, he's been a great team guy. He never asks the why. He just get in where he fits in at. And when he's in there off the bench or whether he's starting, great minutes. And both those guys have been really good for each other. I felt like early on they were not on the same page in terms of not appreciating when one was, unless you were starting. But now those guys are doing a better job of trying to collaborate for the betterment of this basketball team. And we need that down the stretch. We need our point guards to be our best players on the court, especially, you know, just guiding us in the right direction, because, you know, you always stand hard in the point guards. They're a focal point of what we're getting done here because they control the offense.
Now, I don't want to say the repaired relationship between Camp and Cody. That would imply that there was beef there. But like you said,
there was. They were, you know, you got to come to practice to see what I'm talking about. And it wasn't like, it was just on the court, you know, because it's pretty much jockeying for position. Who's going to be the guy? Who's going to be the starter? It wasn't any bad blood off the court. It was just in practice. You would catch those two guys sometime, you know, shove a shoulder here or there, or have some words, and I let those guys handle it. I never had to intervene and break up anything. It was just those guys trying to claim a spot that, you know, they're sharing right now. You know, so it was nothing that warranted me, you know, intervening. They handled it like grown men, and now we are.
But now they're playing so seamlessly together. It's almost kind of like how Merv and Campion played off of one another from last year. Was this them pulling each other aside and talking about it, or is this just time healing wounds and figuring itself out?
I think it's just time healing wounds and growing up, you know. We always got to keep in mind these are 18 to 22-year-old young men that are away from home, have things going on, you know, in life personally and on the basketball court. And oftentimes you get two guys from different backgrounds just don't see eye to eye, and it takes a while. That's what team is all about. And I think they kind of figured it out now that they respect each other's space, but they also respect this ball club enough to make the sacrifice that we need these guys to make to help us attain more victories.
You know, for you, Coach, is a small victory for you personally, I'd imagine, because Sam Cody has started the last four games. I'm just going to assume that he's going to be starting tomorrow against Morehead State. And the last four games have been an adventure for him. In the first two starts in that four-game stretch, he goes for 2 points, two assists in a two-game span. And now, in the last two, 21 points and eight assists. I say it's a win for you individually because you had the fortitude to stick with him after those two games as the starter. What gave you that confidence, and what led you to that decision to keep Cody in the starting lineup after those first two games back in the starting rotation?
Well, he needs his confidence. I think that was the biggest thing. Campion is a very confident young man, and he's very confident in his play because he's been here for a while. He knows what I expect. You know, Cody oftentimes, you know, prior to the past few games, he wasn't there yet, and that takes time. He's a new player in our system, and it just took him a while to get comfortable. And I think these last four games has helped him, you know, feel a little more comfortable in that driver's seat. You know, like Coach Burris always say, the keys to the porch, so to speak. And he has the keys in his hands to drive the program in terms of, again, getting us set up. And I just think, you know, game by game, he's becoming more comfortable. He's playing with a different pace, as you can see in the past few games. He's getting that ball to court more, but he's competing at a high level. And I appreciate that about both our guards.
Yeah, for Cody, I don't think there was ever any doubt about his ability. When he first committed to USI, people looked at his tape from junior college and said, man, he's athletic, man, he's strong, man, he can get to the rim, he can play here. And then it took him a while to figure it out. It took him a while. At times, he's basically out of the rotation. So how did he, you mentioned what he's actually doing on the court, but how did he get to a place where he's playing 0 to 3 minutes and now he's starting and being one of the most important and impactful players on the team and in the rotation?
Well, an accumulation of sitting down with coaches in practice, asking questions, you know, becoming a student of the game a little bit more than what he was. I will say early on, he wasn't one of those guys that asked questions. He would just come to practice and he's gone, you know, and I think, you know, by him not playing, I think it got his attention as to, like, the why. Why am I not playing? And we talked about roles with him. He's watched film with the coaching staff. Again, he's asking questions in practice. And I think that's a start, you know. And then once he's in the game, it's one of those things, too, as well, where, you know, we had to let him play through some things. You know, I think oftentimes with Campion and Braxton, we had a tendency to pull him really quick when he made some mistakes. And I'm not saying we don't pull him down, but we let him play through a couple of those mistakes first. I think the biggest thing with Cody is his ability to pass the basketball, as you said a second ago. But more importantly, if you think about how Eastern Illinois guarded us a couple of days ago, they trapped us. He saw over the defense and passed to the other side of the court because of his height, but also his strength to make that pass. You know, Camp splits those double teams and makes the plays, and Cody can see over to get the ball to guys a lot quicker. So two different variations of point guards, you know, but I'm proud of both of those guys that they set their differences aside and sacrifice some things that they sacrificed for this basketball club. And let's keep it rolling.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. On an individual basis for Sam Cody to run with this opportunity that you've given him, not only to play, but to play through the mistakes, like you said, exemplified in the first two games of this four-game run where he's starting in the rotation, but also for him to now succeed with the 21 points, 8 assists in the last two games. I feel like you take that. I feel like that's pretty good, especially when he's not, I don't want to say not the full-time starter. He's starting, but he's also splitting significant minutes with another point guard, and you'd imagine he'd have more assists if he got a little bit more playing time, but Campion's getting some of those assists. What's the next step for him in his game? How does he get to the next level?
I think once, a year in our program is going to really serve him well next year. He's got some talent. You know, we got to, you know, spend the summer with Sam Cody in terms of, you know, continue to develop his body. More importantly, his jump shot. You know, he's not a great shooter from the perimeter. He gets to the basket. You know, he does a wonderful job of getting to the basket. But if we can, expand his game to three-point range consistently, he's a really good basketball player for us. You know, he's strong enough right now. But we still got some things we got to fine-tune. I don't see very many weaknesses with his ball handling. You know, his first step is it's quick, but it could be quicker. I think his attention to detail has got to improve, but also his ability to guard on ball. With us switching four ways, you know, oftentimes he forgets the game plan, so he's got to become more of a student of the game as well. But we're excited about Cody, man, because he's going to be really a ball player in another year in the system.
Benny and the Main Street Boys making noise at Tarone. Ain't nothing but a pizza party at Tarone. Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down the Pizza Break Road. All right, Benny and the Main Street Boys are making noise. All right, pizza party at Tarone's.
Your single source for workplace supplies. All stops.
For 20 years, Hoosier Home Improvement has been taking care of tri-state residents with their remodeling and roofing needs. Looking to replace or upgrade the windows in your home, Hoosier Home Improvement is a certified expert Pella installer and has been recognized as number one in the nation when it comes to customer satisfaction, as determined by Pella Corporation. At Hoosier Home Improvement, they take pride in their work, get projects done on time, and are licensed, bonded, and insured. For professional home improvement projects, call Hoosier Home Improvement at 812-421-1201.
At Penn Station East Coast Subs, it's all about the good taste, and they are introducing inflation-beating prices this month on all subs and drinks. During this month of January, Penn Station East Coast Subs is offering daily full meal specials featuring the chicken teriyaki sub with fresh-cut fries and a drink for just $12.99. Tea lovers, listen up. Now enjoy the fresh-brewed sweet or unsweet tea for just 99 cents. Penn Station is fighting back high inflation prices. Get to Penn Station East Coast Subs today with locations in Evansville, Newburgh, Henderson, and Owensburg.
Back here on the Stan Gerard Radio Show presented by Tarone's. I'm Brad Klein. Happy you could join us here on WREF 97.7. Listen to theref.com and the WREF mobile app. The Penn Station East Coast sub of the show, Damani Harrison. Damani, really appreciate your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for being here.
All right. So in looking at the last couple of games, we're going to preview the Morehead State game for tomorrow as well. But in looking at the last couple of games, you guys played really well. Got the split on the road. 15 points for you against SIUE. Let's talk about the Thursday game before the Saturday win against Eastern Illinois. You guys had your chances against a really, really good OVC team. But it was a pretty complete 40 minutes from you guys. So how would you evaluate the team performance against Edwardsville?
I feel like it was a good game. We left some down there, left the win on the board, of course. Just came down to late game execution between us and them. They executed a lot, laid down the road, and we didn't. So kind of left a lot down on the game for sure.
And Damani, you've played in some big games, especially in junior college. In your 2 years at Tallahassee before getting to USI, and certainly you've played in big games already at USI. You guys can practice all you want, do as many drills as you want. You mentioned those late-game scenarios. Yeah. How do you prepare for moments like those? Because I feel like those are not really simulatable in practice.
We play a lot of four-minute wars in practice. Coaches drill a lot of things in our head that we need to do as far as the team and to help us close out games. But we know what we have to do to close out a game. We just got to, you know, focus and continue to do it.
I feel like the way you guys played in that game, it's probably enough to beat almost any team in the OVC. SIUE is really good. They're at home, and they got a couple of bounces, a couple of whistles. What was the vibe in the locker room after a game like that, knowing that you played well but didn't get the result?
You know, not happy because, you know, we, all of us want to win. We all have the same goal. Coaches want to win. We all want to win. But we know we left a lot on the table to get to the late game. Just got to execute more better down the road, down the stretch a lot. But we know we have to do to win. We just got to do it.
Have you ever seen the Leonardo DiCaprio gif from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? He's sitting on the couch. He's like pointing at the TV. You know what I'm talking about? I feel like whenever you go for double figures, USI fans are doing one of those, the Leonardo DiCaprio pointing, because they know that you can do it pretty much whenever you want. And coaches talk so much about you passing up shots when you get them. For you, 15 points against SIUE. What gave you, I'm not going to say the confidence, but what gave you the wherewithal, I guess, to decide to pull the trigger in those scenarios and end up getting those 15?
Just shooting the shots that I work on every day. Shooting the shots my coach wants me to shoot. Just having confidence in myself also and just believing what I can do, believing the shots that I can make. Coaches got confidence in me. Teammates have confidence in me, so just got to have confidence in myself that I can make those shots.
I feel like you're a really confident player, though. And so it's strange. You know, we talk to all the student-athletes that USI has, regardless of sport or level or whatnot, class. And I feel like any student-athlete, especially on the basketball team, would kill for the freedom that you've been given, which is, hey, Damani, we want you taking shots. To hear that you're passing some up, I mean, how do you explain that, and why would you be passing up any looks in a given game?
Well, because of conference right now, I'm kind of guarded differently than I would be during the regular season. So a lot of teams scout me differently. They're starting to guard me once the second I pass half court. The second I take a dribble, they're kind of sending two people at me. So I have to just, you know, read and react, play the game how it's supposed to be played. And I have the ability to pass the ball and the IQ to pass the ball. So whenever I can make a read to open up my other teammates, then I have to do so.
You go for 9 points against Eastern Illinois, which was actually really good for a bunch of reasons. One, it was enough to get the win. And two, you guys spread the love offensively against EIU on Saturday in a win, 64-60. Stevens, the only one who went in double figures. So you were on the high level of the scoring. But for you, I noticed something at EIU. It's really not exclusive to EIU. There were a couple of times, more than a couple of times, where USI's on offense, you guys trying to run something, not working out, late shot clock, the ball always finds your hands. And they're asking you, okay, go create something, go find something. Sometimes you did, but that's a very low percentage scenario. Yeah. What kind of pressure does that put on you, knowing that you're the last resort? When something's not going right, 5 seconds on the shot clock, Camps is going to throw it to you at the midline and say, Damani, you cook.
Yeah. I wouldn't really say pressure, and I wouldn't say it's like meant for me. Kind of just happens, you know. But I wouldn't say pressure. I'm just, you know, it's just basketball. It's finding a good shot, finding somebody that's open. You know, doing what I have to do to get the win or to get a good shot up. It doesn't really, I wouldn't really say pressure, though. Kind of just let it come to me. Just play it. Read and react. Play how I play. Play free.
And Damani, we're talking about a lot of your offense. Then again, you are an offensive player with a lot of offensive talent. Yeah. Something clicked defensively for this team against Eastern Illinois, especially in the first half. 19 points allowed is the best defensive first half that USI has had against a D1 team in program history. How do you diagnose that?
We scout a lot, you know. It was Doug's scout this time, so Doug drilled in our head and, like, wanted us to focus on the type of players we were playing. So coaches always tell us to understand players' tendencies before we play them. So we kind of did a good job, like I'll say, first half, understanding their tendencies, understanding their hot hands, and the shots they want to take between player to player. So I say we focused on guarding that a lot, focused on playing them, how they, you know, pushing them towards uncomfortable shots or taking away their main guys. So things like that helped us a lot for sure.
Against SIUE, we were talking about how you feel like it's your responsibility and your challenge to guard Rayshon Taylor, one, the best scorer in the OVC, and especially in the first half, and you guys really did a number on him. In the second half, he got his shots, he got to the free throw line, and to Stan Gerard's point, he said it earlier, hey, great players like Rayshon Taylor, they're going to get theirs eventually, so you guys did a really good job on him. Well, nice tune-up on Thursday for the Saturday game when you guys are playing the second-best scorer in the OVC in Nikhyle Shelton, coming off a career-high 38 points, best single-game scoring performance for a Panther since 2004. And, well, Shelton, talk about, oh, you guys did a good job against Taylor. You guys crushed it against Shelton. I mean, he did not score in the first half, and he was limited gravely. So what was your role in limiting to Kyle Shelton, the second best scorer in the OVC?
You know, like Coach said, good players are going to get there. So you gotta just got to make it hard for them, you know, force them into tough shots, force them into things that they don't want to shoot. And then, again, like I said earlier, just learning their tendencies, learning which way they don't go really a lot, or pushing them to do uncomfortable things, you know, uncomfortable shots. So a lot of that worked during that game. So it was team defense also, but, yeah.
You've got this unique way of simplifying a pretty complex game. I like that. Now, Damani, I want to say that you can do that all the time, but then again, it's a pretty complex problem that you guys face tomorrow against Morehead State with the best team in the OVC. Right. How do you see USI matching up against MSU?
I feel like we match up perfectly. We're a little faster than them. They execute very well for throughout the game. They're like a slow team. I would say they're not really high speed. They're like a slow team, but they execute very well. They have a lot of good sets, you know, that gets them open, a lot of their good guys. So, you know, we scout them. We lost by two last time. Very close game last time we had them, but came short. But we know their tendencies a lot. We watch them a lot. We watch a lot of scouting them as far as their players, their team, things they run. But, yeah, I feel like we'll be good.
You mentioned the game that you guys already played against them, a 70-68 loss for you guys at home. That was seven games ago. Mm. What, if you look back on that game, if you reminisce on that game, what do you think the difference was between win and loss there? Because it was only 2 points, but from an X's and O's standpoint, what actually happened there?
I feel like our mindset is a lot different now. Before we were losing a lot during the rebounding, I feel like now we'll do a lot better when we battle versus them. Also guarding a lot of their main guys, you know, push them to getting uncomfortable shots because they're good players. Good players are going to hit shots, but, you know, understand their tendencies and try to make them uncomfortable throughout the game and try to slow down their execution as far as their plays and also knowing their plays, knowing counters to their plays, things like that.
If memory serves, Morehead State, they were 18-1 at home last year. They're 8-0 at home this year. Now, the one loss from last year, USI. Snapping an 18-game win streak at home for Morehead State. What do you know about what USI did against Morehead State from last year, and how much stock do you put into it? Because on the one hand, MSU's a new team. On the other hand, you're a very new team. You weren't even there, but is there anything that you guys can take from last year and apply it to this year?
I actually don't know about last year because we haven't really talked about it, honestly. I'm actually not sure about that. But
let me tell you. It was crazy. It was awesome. It was pretty cool because you knew about the significance of it. And Morehead State unbeatable going into this game at home. Oh, it was Sam Mervis. It was Ryan Hall in the second half. Jeremiah Hernandez was a big part of it. And I know that you're not a teammate of his. But it was the most improbable game of the entire OVC slate, regardless of team. Honestly, you can kind of liken it to Eastern Illinois Little Rock, which is what happened already today.
Yeah, that was
pretty crazy. And what's your reaction to that?
That's honestly, it's unexpected, honestly. Just because they came off a good win versus Lindenwood, Little Rock, to just beat Lindenwood by like high 20s, almost 30. And then, I don't know, it's really definitely unexpected for me, for sure.
Again, Damani Harrison here on WREF. Damani, I'll get you out of here on this. And again, appreciate your time as the Penn Station East Coast sub of this show.
Yes,
fill in the blank for me. It's a mad lib, all right? If USI blanks tomorrow against Morehead State, they walk away with another win at Morehead State.
If we rebound, if we out-rebound, we win.
USI has won the rebounding battle in four straight games. Damani, really appreciate your time and good luck.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, we'll take a step aside. Stan Girard, the USI men's basketball head coach, on the other side here on WREF 97.7 FM. The ref, always the right call.
Vinny and the Main Street Boys making noise. At Taroni, ain't nothing but a pizza party. At Taroni, and the Main Street Boys are calling.
Amazing service.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, your finances, your insurance, your life? Then let State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville help you simplify and get to a better state. Because with Martin handling your auto, home, and life insurance, you'll have more time to handle everything else, and more money, too. Because adding State Farm policies can earn discounts that could add up to 40% and actually help you get ahead. Call State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville today and get to a better state with State Farm.
Back here on the Stan Gerard Radio Show, presented by Taroni's. I'm Brad Klein. Happy to be with you, USI men's basketball head coach. Stan Gerard is back after we heard from Damani Harrison. Coach is back. And talking about the OVC slate, you know, I was talking briefly with Damani about the crazy outcome from today. Eastern Illinois upsetting Little Rock, one of the best teams in the OVC. And that kind of transitions us, Coach, into an interesting conversation about the landscape of the OVC. Certainly where USI stands, we'll get to that, but what do you make of that game, Eastern Illinois beating Little Rock?
Well, they were destined to beat someone. They've been playing good basketball. You know, you look at their loss against Morehead State a couple of nights ago. They were right there, and even our game, they were right there to win. So it was just one of those things where, you know, when was it going to click for them? And fortunately, it didn't click for them on Saturday, and it clicked today. But, you know, that just tightens the race a little bit. You know, we need these guys to not fare well. You know, that puts them two games behind us in OVC play, and it's a big win for them. Big win at a neutral site. They played a game at Lindenwood, you know. So, big win for those guys today.
Now, like I told you earlier, it's almost like a Mad Lib, just without the adverb, right? It's Eastern Illinois beating Little Rock at Lindenwood, the makeup game after the tragic loss of Little Rock's student manager. But, you know, that said, Coach, a lot to look at in this OVC. And right now, you guys are on the strong side of the OVC tournament bubble. I know that you are now starting to address that with your players. At what point in the season is there a date or a game benchmark? Or is it more of a feeling that you start really looking at the standings with your guys?
Well, I started looking at it before our last two games because I knew we were trending to a point where we probably wouldn't have made it had we not, you know, covered some ground there. So I wanted to stress the importance to our guys of we can't waste a day or a game because, again, it'd be a catastrophe if we don't play an OVC tournament there in our hometown. And I think the message was understood loud and clear, and we'll address it again today, tomorrow before the game, so that our guys, you know, continue to think about those things as we, you know, prepare for big games.
You got Lindenwood right next to you. You have Eastern right behind you and Western, too. And then you look at the teams in front of you. How much attention and energy is put towards advancing up the OVC ladder, and how much attention and energy is put towards making the OVC tournament?
Well, I think we need to make it first before we can advance. You know, I think the biggest thing for us is controlling things we can control. That's us playing hard, you know, rebounding like Damani said in his interview, but also just finding a way to win on both sides of the basketball. You know, this league, we always say, is a very tough league, but possession basketball is a thing that we stress a whole lot, and we have to value those more so that way we can, you know, give ourselves a chance to win.
USI men's basketball at 4-6 in the OVC right now, playing Morehead State, the top team in the league tomorrow. You can hear the action on WREF, 7 o'clock start to the Franklin Lanes Master Tire pregame show. You know, Coach, so much goes into what it takes to win in a league. What's the main difference, by your estimation, now that we're about midway through the OVC, between last year's OVC and this year's OVC?
You mean from a team standpoint? It's just a lot better players have came through this league. You know, everybody leveled up with talent. When you think about what we lost last year, all of the guys that were first teamers a year ago are all no longer in the OVC. And you would think, you know, some guys would drop off, but Morehead didn't miss a beat. SIU maintained a lot of their guys from a year ago. SEMO leveled up with a couple new guys, but also kept the Robinson kid. And Arkansas Little Rock, you know, they leveled up as well, but kept retaining a lot. So everybody leveled up and makes it for a tough conference.
This might sound like a really strange question because I know that you guys are really trying to win that OVC title, and you still have a really good chance to do that. You get hot at the right time. In this league, anyone can win it. But for the guys who have never spent any time in the OVC, you've got some history against these teams going back to the G2 era, I should say. You got some history against these teams just within the last few years of D1. For the new guys, the transfers that don't have that history, how do they see the OVC, and how do they feel about the chase right now? Is it about winning games for USI, or is it about
winning and beating that team in the OVC?
I think it's winning games, you know, because it's going to, you know, get us one step closer to our end goal. All these guys have played in different programs, played, competed in good leagues, but now they've seen and got a dose of how good this league really is. I think they get a better understanding of how important, again, every possession is. And as we, you know, take steps towards the end of the season, you know, I think these guys, you know, and it's shown from our last, what, four games, how good we could really be. But I think the light bulb has went off, and they understand the importance of every game going down the stretch.
Morehead State right now by record is the top team in the OVC. You guys play them tomorrow. By your estimation, I test it for me. Is Morehead State the best team in the league?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. A well-oiled machine who lost a lot from a year ago, lost their coach, and haven't missed a beat. You know, the system is still in place from what it was, you know, a few years ago, and they play in the exact same way. I think for us, we got to try to speed them up and get them out of their comfort zone because they play a very comfortable style of offense that's hard to guard, you know, with the way they execute, the way they share the basketball. And I was telling Sprue earlier, this team, they're well in tune with each other for them to have so many guys. You know, they don't care who gets the glory when it's crunch time. They share the ball very well. They play as one. And that's good basketball, and it's so fun to see. You know, oftentimes, you know, in our case and in their case, you get a lot of new players. You don't usually have that, but they've done a great job of maintaining the culture they established here before Maddox took the job.
I love it. We're going to dive into the next game again tomorrow against Morehead State, the top team by record and by Stan Gerard eye test in the OVC. On the other side of this break, you're listening to the Stan Gerard Radio Show on WREF, presented by Taroni's.
The camaraderie and community you experience in high school sports is unlike anything else. I'm McKenna Cruz from Greenwood Community High School.
And I'm Sawyer Tittman from Fort Wayne Snyder High School. Where else do coaches help their players develop as athletes and as human beings?
Where else do student athletes grow together and grow up together?
Where else do parents and fans from all walks of life come together as one to cheer on their team?
High school sports are special because coaches, student athletes, and fans know they are all in it together.
The camaraderie and community we experience is just one reason why we love high school sports and why it is unlike anything else.
I'm IHSAA Commissioner Paul Knighty. Be a champion of high school sports and the way they bring everyone together by buying a ticket to your high school's athletic events. This is unity. This is pride in your community. This is your IHSAA.
Imagine a world where no one goes to bed hungry. At Bread for the World, we're on a mission to advocate for policies and programs that can end hunger in the U.S. and around the globe. But we can't do it alone. You have the power to shape a brighter future by urging U.S. decision makers to support initiatives like the Gus Schumacher Nutrition Incentive Program, GusNIP for short. And today, there's a crucial opportunity before us. Visit our website at bread.org/help to learn how you can urge members of Congress to support GusNIP. Let's build a world where everyone has access to healthy food.
And the Main Street Boys making noise
at Taroni's.
Ain't nothing but a pizza party
at Taroni's.
And the Main Street Boys are calling. Made fresh right here, the best pizza and beer. So follow us down the Pizza Break Road.
All right,
Vinny and the Main Street Boys are making noise.
All right,
pizza party at Taroni's.
It's not just a home or a car, it's the 6 months you save for your Ultra HD flat screen just in time for the basketball season and the overtime you work for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or combo, State Farm agent Martin Woodruff sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Martin understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection that they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Martin Woodruff in Evansville for your home and auto.
Fulton Interior Systems is a preferred interior contractor in the region. Office remodeling, new construction, building maintenance, finished carpentry, and ceramic tile are just some of the areas of our expertise. This is Dan Fulton, president of Fulton Interior Systems. We can help with any of your construction needs you have. Fulton Interior Systems, quality craftsmanship that exceeds your expectations, not your budget. Give us a call at 426-2775. At Fulton Interior Systems, we can help you build your business, literally.
For 20 years, Hoosier Home Improvement has been taking care of tri-state residents with their remodeling and roofing needs. Looking to replace or upgrade the windows in your home, Hoosier Home Improvement is a certified expert Pella installer and has been recognized as number one in the nation when it comes to customer satisfaction as determined by Pella Corporation. At Hoosier Home Improvement, they take pride in their work, get projects done on time, and are licensed, bonded, and insured. For professional home improvement projects, call Hoosier Home Improvement at 812-421-1201.
Wrapping up shop here on the Stan Gerard Radio Show, presented by Taroni's. I'm Brad Klein. Happy you could join us here on WREF 97.7. Listen to theref.com and the WREF mobile app. We do have a big game to preview, Southern Indiana and Morehead State tomorrow. You're going to hear it on WREF. Now, Coach, I want to go backwards on this game before we go forwards, reminisce a little bit on last year's matchup. Now, that was a pretty special moment in the season, biggest win of the year, I would say. And you said at the time, maybe the biggest win since the D1 move. You guys upset Morehead State at Johnson Arena, snapped their home game win streak of, I believe, 18 games. 18. What do you remember from that game and that day? It was pretty special.
I remember going into that ball game. I know I was, my mind was all over the place. You know, I was trying to figure out how to beat a good ball club who had a 18 game win streak, but also had faith because, you know, done it before when I was at Indy. We beat Bellarmine, had a 26 game home win streak, I think it was, in Kentucky. How ironic. But we took our team into Bellarmine and beat those guys in home court. And I knew it was going to take a special performance from everybody to do that, you know. And some guys carried us down the stretch. You know, I remember down the stretch, we ran maybe two plays the last 7-8 minutes. And we got everything we wanted out of that play, plus the counters. And that locker room celebration was so deserving for our guys to win that game because, you know, it was long overdue, you know. Just a fun atmosphere, fun environment, and a fun after party in the locker room, and a so cool ride home because that was, it's almost like we won a Super Bowl because we were struggling so much, and to come out and snap that streak, I was happy to be a part of it.
I could be wrong about where you guys landed as far as this conference standings, but I'm pretty sure you don't make the conference tournament without that game. That was a pretty significant tiebreaker, if I'm not mistaken. So that was pretty cool in and of itself. Now, I think it was basically a simple ball screen. You guys were running for Jeremiah, right?
It was a pin down screen, a pin down for Jeremiah, and I think AJ was making the pass. Big Nick Kittle was setting the screen, I think it was, with him and Powell. And Jeremiah just got to the free throw line. Nick was setting great screens, and AJ delivered some great passes. And we found something that was working, and we just kept running. And they had no answer for it. You know, the next kid who they had a year ago was very good for him. He's now in the NBA. You know, he was a tough guard for us last year. And thank God he's gone. Thank God he's gone because he was really good.
Yeah, Preston Spradlin coached him up, and now Greg Popovich and his staff can take care of Minix down the stretch, and he's playing with Wembanyama as well. You look at this game now and this Morehead State team, and though they are a very different team, they're still similarly the best team in the OVC right now. How do you guys pull off the upset this time around?
Well, you know, looking at game one, a few things we didn't do well. We did not shoot the ball very well. We go 3 of 13 from three. At home, we go 17-25 from the free throw line at home, and you lose by what, 3 points?
2 points.
2 points, rather. Jack Camping misses one to secure the victory. Got out rebounded by 10 and gave up 14 offensive rebounds. So, if we can, let's just say, if we hit two more shots and cut those rebounds in half and make two more free throws, you know, we win the ball game pretty easily. You know, so we start there. You know, you go back and look at the numbers and see, you know, how you do from a stats standpoint. I always get that word mixed up, from a stats standpoint. And then you start looking at individual play. Kenny White was just so good for those guys. You know, we couldn't keep him out of paint, but more importantly, keep him, you know, from getting to a sweet spot. You know, he goes to the foul line 9 times, but he's a kid that goes left, and he went left. You know, we lost him in transition. And we didn't fight him hard enough to keep him from getting to his sweet spots. And we got to be different, you know, watching these guys coming off a tough loss against SIU Edwardsville a couple nights ago. They did a great job of challenging him. He didn't shoot the ball very well against Edwardsville because they defended at a high level. And we got to do the same thing tomorrow night against Florida State.
What's the difference in your defensive approach from, I think it was 7 games ago, against Kenny White versus the one that we'll see tomorrow night?
Well, I think these guys now have a better understanding of what we're talking about. You know, sometimes you watch film as players, and you don't realize how good a person is until you're in the moment, you know, and then going into the game. And it's hard to adjust if you don't respect the player's talent going into the game. And I think now that we got a dose of what he can do, how his team plays, I think we can fare well against these guys.
And looking at what you guys have done well in the last few games, we talked about your defense. But then again, you guys are also playing an offense tomorrow that is not playing their best. Their scoring average in the last 7 games since you played them is down about 10 points per game since before you guys played them. So in looking at tape and looking at the games that they played since they played at your guys' place, what has plagued them offensively? What have they struggled with?
Well, Stephen Clay's been out. I think he missed his last game or two with a concussion. They're just not making shots. They're getting good looks. They're not hitting at a high clip as they were a few games ago. And I think that has a lot to do with legs, a lot to do with scouting and guys embracing the challenge. When you're the number one team in the league, it's you'll get everybody's best shot. And Eastern Illinois gave them a run for their money. And they go out and lose against SIU Edwardsville a couple nights later. So when you're Morehead State, the team who's been running this league for a couple years, you get everybody's best shot. And that's our goal tomorrow, is get these guys our best shot and come out victorious.
You know, it's funny because I was talking to Damani earlier in the show, and then I was also talking to him last week before the SIUE game. He said that it's his responsibility, it's his onus to guard the best player. In that case, against Edwardsville, it was Thursday against Rayshon Taylor, and then on Saturday, Nakiyo Shelton, Eastern Illinois. I feel like that might not be his matchup against Kenny White, so who does take that step up and say, okay, I'm on Kenny White?
We switch 4 ways, so everybody's going to get a taste of him. You know, it's not going to be one guy. It's a collective effort by everyone. But we switch 4 ways, and someone may start on him and go out of the possession. It'll be a couple of different guys, and you know, it's just going to be one of those things, a battle of wills, you know, who wants the game more. And I just feel like with the way we play and the way they play, you know, they're going to look for matchups. And he may get what he wanted, you know, because they'll go at some guys offensively to see if they can score the basketball. But we'll switch it 4 ways. It won't particularly be his matchup. You know, it would be a collective group effort.
I don't want this to come off the wrong way, but you go backward.
That means it is.
No, I think it's actually a compliment. It certainly is to the coaching staff and the way you guys recruited. You guys won that game last year at Morehead State with Ryan Hall playing significant minutes. Sam Mervis was playing significant minutes. He played most of the second half.
Yeah.
Those guys are basically out of the rotation for this season. And you have a lot of talent that you brought in from the transfer portal, from junior college. So you apply that and what you guys did with that pin down screen at the end to this game. How much are you preaching, hey, guys, this is what we did to get this win last year, to the new guys? I was talking to Damani about this. He really doesn't know anything about the upset that you guys pulled off last year.
He must have amnesia because we talked about it before the first game, and we went back and looked at some clips and told these guys, this is how we beat these guys last year with this particular play. Now, the new coaches guard are different. You know, last year, Preston didn't do what the new coach is doing. He top-locked it last year. This year, he top-locked it, and Preston didn't do that last year. So he's guarding it better than Preston did a year ago. And that makes it difficult. That made it difficult in game one, you know. So we have some counters to that play, those plays right now, to see if we can do something different. You know, went back and looked at game one against these guys, you know, back in when we played those guys back in December, New Year's Eve, right?
New Year's Eve,
and went back and looked at some of those clips we played against from our first game, and we're going to try to, you know, go back to some of the things we did, but also add a few things to maximize our chance to win.
Now, maybe this is me being locked in a Cape Girardeau hotel for too long with the snow, but I got the vibe that you and Jonathan Maddox are pretty tight. You had a pretty good relationship. What is that relationship like with him?
We're good friends, man. I've been knowing him for, been knowing his coaching business. We've been knowing each other for maybe 10 years. And when he got the job, I shot him a text. You know, we didn't talk a whole lot before he got the job. We just saw each other in passing. We're both members of the VCA, which is the Black Coaches Association, so we know each other through that and from Final Fours. But when he got the job, I shot him a text, and we started talking more. You know, we talk, I didn't say every week, but every other week we exchange a text or a message. I keep up with him a lot more than any other coach in the league. He keeps up with me. And at the hotel, you saw us, you know, talking a couple of times. We were going to have coffee that morning, but I stayed up too late watching film with our team the night before. So I didn't get up, but I have the utmost respect for what he's doing, and I'm really proud of his journey.
I ran into him in the hotel lobby, and again, we had a lot of time to, you know, run into people with the snowstorm and whatnot, but just talking to him about his journey and what he's done with this program in year one, it's pretty cool. So now my question to you, with him being, I guess, as close a friend as you have in the coaching business within the OVC, what's it like coaching against a friend? Really, in any regard, in any game, whether it's in conference, out of conference, when you are close with the opposing coach, I mean, what is that like?
At 7:30 tomorrow, we will not be friends. And so until the game is over, we will not talk tomorrow. We probably won't talk tonight. The last time I talked to him was after his Eastern win a couple nights ago, you know, and we won't talk today or tomorrow. After the game, we'll resume our friendship.
Are you sure? Maybe you wait an extra day after the game. If you win, we'll trash talk goes his way, something like that.
No, we don't ever trash talk. We're professional. You know, we understand the nature of the business, and somebody's got to win, somebody's got to lose. He'll bring out the best in me, and I'll bring out the best in him as well. And after that, we'll shake hands and we'll move on. But I have a lot of respect for what he's doing with this program, especially in his first year as a coach.
This has been the Stan Gerard Radio Show presented by Tyrone's here on WREF 97.7. Listen to theref.com and the WREF mobile app. Southern Indiana is back in action against Morehead State on the road tomorrow in a big game for the Screaming Eagles as they try to win their fourth game in their fifth try. 7 o'clock pregame presented by Franklin Lanes and Master Tire. Shout out Ed Henson, Gary Johnson, Dan Nagurski, and a shout out to Corey Clayton hitting all the right buttons behind the scenes. We appreciate him as well. Thanks for listening, and good night, everyone.
You have been listening to Stan Gerard on basketball on WREF 97.7 FM, ESPN Radio, and online at listentotheref.com. Tonight's show has been brought to you by Tyrone's, Allstate Office City, by Martin Woodruff, State Farm Insurance Agent, and by Fulton Interior Systems. Stan Gerard on basketball was also brought to you this season by First Federal Savings Bank, Hoosier Home Improvement, and by Penn State.